Survivor's Guide to True Crime includes discussions of sexually based violence and is not intended for children. Information provided should not be used as a substitute for professional medical or legal advice. Please exercise discretion and self-care.
Welcome back to Survivor's Guide to True Crime. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kara, bouncing on my ball.
That's my Olympics theme song.
Oh, I thought that sounded like... I thought it was the Sonic song.
You're not the same.
No, we are not the same. I thought we had stopped that long ago.
Long ago. We have been watching Primetime Olympics, even knowing what the outcome is. We've been watching Primetime Olympics every single night. I regret nothing. I did miss the opening ceremonies, and I actually haven't seen anything about them because we didn't have service the week that those were going on, or the day that those were going on. Whatever. All I know is people mad.
I know. And honestly, I never watched the opening ceremonies. I am living right now for the fact that Peacock has replays. So I can like scroll through my sport. I can pick the sport I want. And then I can see like the finals and I can fast forward and I can pause. Peacock, man. It is the only way we're watching the Olympics. And the boys love it too. I feel like this is the first Olympics that they'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
10 and 8. So I feel like this is a pivotal Olympics for them. This is going to be the one that they will really remember. So they've been able to scroll through by and browse by sports. So it's been kind of interesting to watch them get exposed to different sports and see what they are. I think our family favorite is the synchronized diving.
Yes. That's not one I would ever pick. But like, how are you doing this?
Yeah. And I think because it's so fast too, it's easier for us to watch and there's not as much like commentary. It goes by really quick and you don't need to have like a technical eye to be like, well, that was garbage or like, oh my God, that was so amazing.
Did you see the guy that like not backflip, back flopped?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I saw that on the internet, but not in real life. Obviously not in real life, but one of the things that my boys were saying, they were like, I think we like watching it better this way because we can pause it. We can, we can rewatch it, but they also do the instant replays of the dives and they like break it down. One of the things I don't know if I don't remember seeing this on any of the other Olympics, but I also don't watch a lot of sports. So I think they probably do this on sports where they do the freeze frame.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have like someone tumbling in gymnastics, you know, across the mat and they'll freeze frame all the different places in the clip. They do that with the synchronized diving too.
That's new. I haven't noticed that in like live sports stuff before. I'm like, did you get that from TikTok?
it's so interesting to see it. But yeah, we've definitely been loving it. And I've giggled quite a bit because like the audacity, the sheer audacity of us as like very mediocre humans to look at these Olympians and be like, garbage.
Yeah. Okay, but can we all accept our lovely new mascot for the country, Snoop Dogg? Because
oh my God, it's so funny.
I'm like, you are literally just here for the vibes, and that's it.
I love him so much. So I was really excited because Peacock has like the commentary stuff, and I was like, oh my God, it's gonna be Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg, and it's not. It's Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson.
It's
fine, but I was like, I want Snoop Dogg. I want him. Like, I don't.
Colin Jost is doing it from the surfing finals, which have you looked at those ones? But I've watched Blue Crush enough times in my life to know that I can't hold my breath that long. And those waves terrify me. But
yeah, I think I'm like maybe have a little bit of a panic attack just watching surfing, to be honest.
It's not something that you turn on your TV and typically see, though. And that's but let's bring it to the holy grail of gymnastics. Oh. Like, who does not love watching gymnastics? Because I will guarantee you there is zero of those moves that I can do, as evidenced by the fact that I learned what a wolf turn was, and they're only in women's sports. Something you said to me last week about, hey, send me a silly video of you unmasked. And I know that we will reference this in an upcoming episode, but I was like, I don't I don't have videos of that. So I'm trying to do what you do, where I just set up my camera while I'm doing something. Well, this was me doing something and it was acting like an a-hole. And I can only put up the parts where it's me doing it, not my kids. But my son is in like a flying squirrel costume trying to do a wolf turn. It looks like what you think it does. I thought like the moves for this, I'm very flexible still, like pretty limber, recovering athlete from many, many years ago. And I'm like, I can do this. No, I cannot do this. I cannot do one. And Simone Biles is out there doing it three times on a balance beam in front of the world and not having a wedgie at the same time. I'm like, how?
I think that's one of the keys to the Olympics is you see these people and they make it look so effortless.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Simone Biles like does this insane jump, flip, spin, twisty thing that's like two plus times her height on floor tumbling.
She's above a basketball hoop, folks. Like if you put her jumps next to a basketball hoop, she would be over the, her tiny little body is over the rim. I think that's important.
How do you have that much power in your body? Like that, it's so insane. But yeah, my boys were also like running and jumping and trying to do stuff last night after watching it. And I like, there's so many moments I love so much when they're sitting there and they go, oh my God. I'm like, yes, exactly.
Yes. Well, and oh my gosh, I will argue this till I'm blue in the face that gymnasts all around athleticism probably tops most athletes in general. Like the things that they can do with their bodies, my Lord.
I always thought, I told my boys that if they were to pick any sports to get into, I think the top two that translate to athleticism across fields are definitely gymnastics and swimming.
Yeah.
Like, I think those two, because you just have so much like lung capacity and cardiovascular capability when you are a swimmer.
And it's something you can do much later into life too.
Right. But the people that I know that are some of the fittest people, they were swimmers or they were gymnasts. And so I feel like those two things really translate really well. And so, yeah, it's been really fun to watch though. I agree. I told the boys, I was like, listen, you guys might not know this, but Simone Biles, like you have to watch all of her events because she's the best gymnast in the world. And I was like, I think we can unequivocally say that at this point, like she's the best.
Yep. Not just now. Like we are talking ever. You are watching history be made. Yeah. And can I just like the deepest part of my heart makes it me so happy that like, hey, everyone is going hard for a woman this time. And like that is the peak of athleticism and nobody's got shit to say. And that's still somebody who has overcome bullying on a national and worldwide stage. It's somebody who has placed her mental health above what the country thinks she should do. And she's a survivor. And that's all of the things that like, I can do this and be a badass and flip all of the things. And oh my God. And then you add Taylor Swift, Taylor's version on Ready For It for her floor routine. And it was full body chills freaking out in the Cork home. It was very exciting.
She's definitely amazing. And she shows that you can be dynamic and you can be versatile and you can be not defined by one thing. So I think that's so amazing. But can I tell you what one of my absolute favorite things about watching the Olympics is, though, is seeing how capable human bodies are. Seeing all of these different body types, seeing how like muscular they are. Like the one thing I find myself saying over and over is, oh my God, look at their muscles. And, you know, the swimmers versus the rugby players versus the gymnast and versus the 7-month pregnant woman that was a fencing. Are you kidding me? That's so cool. But seeing all these people that are in peak shape and how different they look, I just love it so, so much. And I'm in awe of their muscles all the time. I'm like, they're so strong. Like fangirling over all of them.
Oh gosh. And yeah, I do love the diversity. And it just goes to show that these are the people that are in the peak athletic form. There is no one right body style.
Yes.
Period.
Exactly. I actually kind of had it on my mind and my heart to talk a little bit about body image because it's something I've been struggling with. And so I think it can be something that is very healing. And now that we have so much more attention and availability of consuming these kinds of things, like if you don't miss it, you can watch the replay. And then you have a lot of these Olympians who are putting out their own content. So we both are fangirling hard over Alona Mar, like the rugby player. She just is so fun. All of her content that she puts out. I think that just the availability of all of this extra content that we can consume in real time for via social media. And Alona, first of all, she is just like so strong, has the best personality. Her videos that she's been making, they've been so good. So if you don't know who she is, definitely check her out, and you're probably going to fall in love with her because her personality is just stellar.
There's no way you don't know. And Steven.
Is that the gymnast?
He's the gymnast that is self-proclaimed nerd. Was posting his Rubik's Cube solve time of 10 seconds. And then his job is literally just horse.
Yes. I wanted to talk about this because I didn't know about this until a couple of days ago. It's like our favorite is like someone posted. It's like my favorite thing about the Olympics is this one gymnast and all he does is pommel horse. And he's just sitting there watching everyone.
Or meditating. Oh,
yes.
Not cracking a smile. That like... And he can't see, and he takes off his glasses, and like, how is this not already a Hallmark movie? There's nothing that is not amazing about this. And I don't know why, but they got third, y'all. Like, the Olympic gymnasts are these reigning champions, gold medals. It's the guy on pommel horse. Thanks for the memes. Okay, wait, let's not get too off topic because we have a way of doing that. You were talking about body image though.
Yeah, we talked a little bit before we started just about how I've been struggling with body image after having the baby. And it's not, I always get, give yourself grace, you just had a baby. And I do that. I am very proud of what my body has done. I give it immense amounts of grace for what it has done. I was in probably the best shape of my life before I got pregnant, and I didn't expect to snap back. Snapping back, like what a myth anyway, but I did, right, fake news, but I did return pretty close to the same size fairly quickly with the boys. I was obviously a good bit younger, whatever, but I feel like I still have been looking like very much still looking pregnant and was just kind of like womp womp about it and kind of kicking rocks. And then I realized that I think something's off with my hormones and kind of tweaked some supplements. And literally within a week, now this is not the norm, but within a week, my body changed of me taking supplements to help balance my hormones and a lot more like myself. And it's just, it's so funny how we go through these different phases of like who we are, how we identify ourselves, because I identify myself as like a fit person. Like I work out a lot. I don't work out because of the changes to my body, because of the way it makes me look, but that's a great added bonus. And so when I was like, I'm doing everything right, why am I still so chubby? Like that's how I felt. That's not a comment on anyone else's body ever. I would never, we never will say the things to other people that we say about ourselves.
Oh, 100%.
First of all, we are so much meaner to ourselves than we would ever be. I would literally never look at anyone else and think that. I would be like, oh my gosh, you look so great.
You would never say that to me. I would never say that to you. And we have no problem repeating it constantly to ourselves. We are our own worst bullies.
Right. And when my husband would be like, God, you look so good. I would be like, well, you're lying. And I'd be like, I look like a human garbage. So, but you know, just a couple of tweaks and I'm like, oh, I feel much more like myself and I'm able to give myself a little more grace and I feel more like myself. But it's like, it's never not a struggle for us.
Well, and you knew that it was a hormone issue and immediately you're thinking, okay, of course it is. I know this. But still, when you are in that space, right, it's like, it's all these other things and I just am going to feel bad. And you and I have had this conversation and I think I've maybe made mention of it on Instagram or TikTok or wherever the hell, but my hormones have been really out of whack. And fun fact, everyone, in case we haven't already said this, stress and times of extreme stress can take tolls on your body. We know this. It threw me into perimenopause early, which sucked. It also threw my thyroid out of whack, and I finally got enough testing done and started putting myself and my health first, which was, it didn't look the same as Kara. Let's lay that foundation right here. Kara works her butt off, and it's to connect her brain with her body. Shut up, you do. Don't bully yourself. But like, that is your thing.
I don't work as hard as everybody thinks I do.
You're a lazy athlete. Like, lazy, what did you call it? You're lazy fit person.
I'm the laziest fit person you'll ever meet.
Yeah. You move your body, though, intentionally, and you want to be strong. And I feel like I had been that and completely lost it. And it had nothing to do with how I looked. But I would constantly beat myself up about that because I'm used to looking a certain way and having my body present a certain way and feeling like myself. And I was completely disconnected from that. And so when I went through and finally started doing all of this work and being tested and addressing the things that were happening to me because of stress and just, you know, the privilege of getting older, got some things in line. And like, yes, pound wise, I've lost a lot over the last, what, year and a half. But like, it doesn't even matter because it solves so many mental health issues for me too, because I finally feel like, oh God, okay, I'm me again. I'm present in my body. I feel like me. I still have my stretch marks and mom pooch and all of the things, and I don't care. Like, it's so much easier to not care when you feel connected to your body and what it can do.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about our conversations and our podcast is like, how different we actually are.
Oh, yeah.
And that we can have two, we can both be having the same problem and have two totally different approaches and respect one another's approaches. And I think that we can hopefully represent a broad variety of people because, like, when it comes down to it, I'm like, you know, the crunchy granola, like, I'm going to do some supplements and I'm going to get some sunshine and I'm going to put my bare feet in the grass and, you know, and like, and I'm going to do all, you know, doing that things. And like, you're more traditionally minded as far as like the medical system, and that's fine. Like, we respect one another's beliefs. And so, you know, if you're feeling like you look in the mirror and you don't recognize yourself, know that right. You're not alone.
And respect whatever journey you're on too. We only represent like our study of one, and two are right here, but you have your own stuff that you're going through, and however you want to get there is okay. So yes, take the advice that we have a hard time taking ourselves. Grant yourself some grace, but do put your health first because it's important.
Yeah. And if you're having trouble with your self-identity and your body image, go watch the freaking Olympics and look at the huge variety of people that are at the peak of their fitness game. Because you could, like, listen, I know the badminton players. I know badminton is quite wild. But there's some sports that you're like, I mean, look at the, yes, they're, you know, the peak of their fields, but like, their bodies all look different.
Case in point, Winter Olympics, but curling? What the fuck?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I could do that. Well, okay, great.
If you look at some of the weightlifters, though, like if you saw those people walking down the street, you would not recognize their fitness level all the time. So anyway, that's just to say, like, bodies look different. They change. You have different seasons, and that's okay.
I don't want to go completely away from the Olympics because this was the number one topic I put on our notes. Let's talk about the mother... This is not a children's program, but I don't have much of a filter for this. The Dutch volleyball player. Have you been following any of this? Have you seen anything about it?
No, I have not.
Are you ready for a good old fashioned rant?
Yeah, I haven't had time to consume a lot of media because I've been putting out a lot of media.
Opposite. I've been putting out squat. I like, we'll do the audio portion of the podcast and then I'm consuming a bunch right now. So here are my thoughts in an unfiltered fashion. There's a Dutch volleyball player who is a convicted child rapist. Okay, let's let that sink in. If this is the first time you're hearing about it, I'm real sorry. Convicted child rapist. Not, oh, it was statutory. No, this grown-ass man got on a plane, flew to the location of a 12-year-old. Who he knew was 12 and raped her. Cool? Cool. The justice system held him accountable. Very, very small, of course, but 4 years prison sentence. Folks, he is now at the Olympics representing that country. And the absolute bonkers nation of just,
yeah, rape culture, that's not real.
You have all of these people that are defending this child rapist, let's call him what it is, because he can play volleyball. Get fucked. I don't care. Like, you should not be. The Olympic Committee had said, I'm going to get the exact quote wrong, but it was something to the effect of, he is a child rapist who is qualified to compete in the competition for which he qualified. Okay? To that extent, they are acknowledging that, yes, this is a thing he did and who he is. And still, we're going to have him represent us at these games because he's the best and we care most about it. And let's go into the whole system that we have, even here in the U.S., where athletes at top performing college levels, their indiscretions, their crimes get swept under the rug because there are people that are more concerned with putting that money towards college athletics and those wins and the boosters that are putting this on a pedestal, these athletes, this program, because they don't give a shit about survivors. They don't care about the victims. They don't care what it takes to get there as long as you can do the sports, hit the ball, yay, points, medals. That is rape culture. We are seeing it on a stage. Now, there are a lot of people that are calling him out, that are booing him. That's fantastic. He shouldn't be there, period. And we have to have those communities calling this out and holding each other accountable. Because if the Olympic Committee was holding each other accountable, it'd be like, nope, that's not something that we want to do here. Case in point, the women's gymnastics team just won gold. Look what can happen when you kick abusers out of your community. Okay? You can still succeed. You can lift those voices, those people, those experiences up. And if you are supporting them in a way that is best for them and centering that survivor, they can still succeed and they can do so even better. So fuck some dude who raped a child that can happen to play volleyball. The same as there was some guy many years ago with a shitty prison sentence that happened to be able to swim. He is a rapist who happens to be able to swim. And if you know the case that I'm talking about, we don't say his name, but Shamnell Miller, if you haven't had a chance, read her book. She is an all-around badass survivor. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but that's that's the biggest one. I'm going to take a moment.
It seems like there should be some guidelines for, like, no criminals are allowed in the Olympics.
One would think, but really, who's to say? Because our judicial systems are different, and there's lots of people who are probably going to be offenders that just haven't been caught. And that's what the shitty part is to me, is that he was convicted. He was tried by a jury of his peers, and he was convicted and served that sentence. And I don't care if he's done serving it or not. You are saying that, yes, we recognize that this happened, and we did what we feel is right for accountability. We did what we feel is right. And still, we're going to let him just be a functioning member of society. There was a whole thing a couple of years ago about the Sex Offender Management Board in Colorado, and they were looking at not referring to sex offenders as sex offenders, but persons who have committed sexual offenses, adults with sexual offending tendencies. Like, they had all of these things. And I went down and actually testified about it because I'm like, this is stupid. Why are you policing language when this is something that they chose to do? They made that knowing choice. You don't get to pick to do a different label just because their victims maybe aren't present for these conversations or what you're doing for the management of them in the Department of Corrections. It's a sex offender. Call it what it is. Because the minute you start lessening that language, it's going to lessen the impact on victims, make it feel like it's not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, by all means, let's protect the alleged criminals, by all means, and actual criminals. That seems, we can't protect victims, but let's protect the criminals.
But also, like, there's the people that are like, but, you know, they're also community members or fathers, brothers, sisters, whoever it might be. And those are also some labels, some things that they hold. And that's okay. I don't want to make it sound like these are the monsters that lurk in the shadows. No, these are the people that you go to work next to or that you're watching on TV. That doesn't have to be, those two things can still be true.
Right. Well, it's what James said in last week's episode. He said, when we tune in to TV, it says monster does this. And it's like, no, they're literally just people that make bad decisions, and that's not making excuses for them. That is a definition, you know. Like,
we have a professor here in Colorado who was just arrested for alleged deaths of his wife and infant Okay, so it's a professor. These are people that you see and interact with on a daily basis, just like you know survivors. You absolutely know someone who has survived a crime. You also know an offender. That's tough to stump.
Yeah. Oh, it really is. I mean, it reminds me of the thing that I come back to time and time and time again, which is when I say, yeah, I don't want my boys to be victims, but I also don't want them to be offenders. You know, like, it is tough to stomach. It's tough to have these conversations. But if we want to change the culture and we want to try to do what we can, these are the tough conversations mm-hmm. that need to be had. Like, it just has to be done.
When we talk about college athletics, too, a lot of people have Title IX that comes to mind. And I do just want to give a shout out since this is coming out on August 1st is when the new Title IX regulations went into effect. And that is not just for colleges. It is for K through 12 programs as well. I'm going to be posting a bunch more on my story and I can do some links, you know, in show notes too. So if you or somebody you know is a student or admin or professor or works in that realm, you have now been showered with rights as a survivor under the new Title IX provisions. So it's like a yay. It's like an 1800 page document. And then the last 80 pages or so is what the update included. But this rollout has been massive. I think they said it is the biggest one, the largest overhaul since it was first introduced.
That's amazing.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, yay. Yay for progress. Yay for progress.
Yes, we'll hear lots more about it, but I at least wanted to point that out since, you know, everybody is going to get back to school here real soon.
Yeah. So the last time that we talked, I wanted to talk about M&M, and you said we didn't have time. Do we have time now? Can I talk about it?
Yes, Carrie, you can talk about M&M.
Let's just go straight from one thing to the other. Have you listened to the new album yet?
Yes. I listened and I only listened to that once. I have not been away from my children
fair.
At all.
Fair enough. Because you cannot listen in front of your children. But my favorite songs, the first one is Tobey Maguire. It's like Tobey Maguire got bit by a spider. Me, it was a goat. And I'm like,
I love it. I did hear that one. I really liked that. That line.
I like that. I just like the beats and I like the cadence of that one a lot. But then I am just like fangirling so hard for adult reformed Eminem because he is a father of three children and he has a song. Dude, there's one song that he wrote
for Haley.
For Haley.
I'm bald.
Same.
Feelings.
Oh, my God. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, can you imagine how she feels listening to that song? So if you don't know, he wrote a song for his daughter, Haley. So Eminem has, I had to go look this up because I knew that Haley was his daughter and biological daughter with his ex-wife, Kim. But I wasn't sure about the other two children. So he also has Elena, which is Kim's twin sister's daughter that he legally adopted. And then he has Stevie. And Stevie was the child of Kim and someone else. Kim was his wife.
Yeah.
And he adopted Stevie. Stevie was biologically born female, now identifying as they, them. Mm-hmm. So those are his three children. And so he legally adopted all three of them, which could you even imagine? First of all, you adopt like your ex-wife who you, for all intents and purposes, hate.
And
judging at like her child with someone else, like you end up adopting. But yeah. So anyway, he writes this song towards Haley, his biological daughter. And it's like, hey, this is for you to listen to after I die. It's so good. It's so good though. And then he writes, the other song that I really like is the one that, he sampled a Jelly Roll song on.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And he's writing as if it took me, I had to go look it up because I was like, this isn't making sense to me. I need this broken down for me. So he overdosed in 2007, I believe. And his daughter, Elena, found him. And the song is written as if he had died then. And like, I'm literally, I have goosebumps right now. And it's like, Haley, sorry, I didn't walk you down the aisle. I didn't see the birth of your first child. I never heard your first podcast. Like, I'm so proud of you. Elena, sorry that you had to hear me fall in the bathroom. And he also intersperses these songs with clips, like audio clips.
Oh, yeah. Like home movie kind of clips.
Yeah. Yeah. From his kids. And it's really vulnerable of him to be sharing these things. And like he says, you know, what kind of father am I that I couldn't put aside drugs to be a dad to you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, he says some pretty outlandish stuff, but the reformed Eminem, I'm just, it makes me feel really nostalgic. Several of the songs, I'm like, oh my God, this reminds me of like Brain Damage and like all these other songs that were, you know, songs from my teens. And yeah, I keep listening to it. I have like, you know, the level of repeat that I still living in for Kendrick and Drake feud songs. So I'm still just listening over and over and over in case you need me, you know where I will be. But yeah, I definitely am loving that. That's my like current hyperfixation. Now, it's not my current. It's one of my current hyperfixations. My current hyperfixation is plants. But like create a spreadsheet level. I'm not autistic.
Oh boy.
Undiagnosed, but I'm pretty sure.
For listeners, I sent Kara a hat because I'm like, did you make this? Oh no. She bought it immediately. It just says
immediately.
Undiagnosed, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see you sporting that. Please wear that for when we record.
I will as soon as it comes in. It hasn't shipped yet, but yeah, no, I looked up the specific needs and the types of soil and the conditions that all of my plants grow best in, and I made a spreadsheet, and it's like my freaking a diaper spreadsheet. I don't tell me I'm not autistic.
You're something.
I'm something. I don't know. Like, I don't know, Grandpa, collecting stamps isn't normal.
I have accumulated a lot of plants. I know that there are certain ones that do well in these environments for me.
Would you like for me to tell you which plants like peat moss soil versus sandy soil and humidity and which ones don't like vents?
I'm just kind of raw dogging it over here. And when I see them like getting brown and falling over, I'm like, oh, I should probably put some water in that, which is basically how I treat myself too. So
I have a dry husk of a human. Maybe I should drink some water.
Do I need some water? Maybe. Or maybe I just need to be thrown out in a new one. I'm never going to know.
Again, this goes back to like the differences between the two of us. Like, I don't, like, meanwhile, I'm like, how many electrolytes can I drink in one day? I'm going to have a puppy.
I'm like, if you can't survive in this brutal environment, then you're not cut out to be here. And I don't know what else to tell you. But I do have a Monstera because I am nothing if not a through and through millennial. And it's upstairs and its name is Mike Wazowski because it's a monster.
I love it. I have a Monstera that vines. Have you ever seen one of those?
No. Definitely wouldn't live here.
I will send you a picture. I really want, we have a two-story entry and I really want a fiddle leaf fig, like a nice tall fiddle leaf fig to go in the entry, but they terrify me. I'm like, I'm so afraid that they will die because they are finicky.
See, I'm like, philodendrons do well and whatever the heck this is.
I can't see it.
This one bounces back really fast. I don't know. It's got pink on it, but like,
yeah.
If I forget about it for a little while, I come in and it's like, and then it's back up within a couple hours. That's all I could probably handle.
Pothos and snake plants are like, and what's the name of the other one? Chinese evergreens. Those are all very easy to grow. So if you're looking to get into plants, I would recommend a pothos or a snake plant.
Not the Snoop Dogg varietal. Bringing it full circle. We're talking about these house plants. I don't know what you could do with them, actually. Like, I'm not the expert here. Consult someone else. I claim NARC, okay? Not the one to ask.
I am the current expert. I'm like, oh, I need to be doing this work for the podcast. No, I'm busy researching.
Making a plant spreadsheet.
I'm so scared.
She's been pregnant 3 times. She has 3 children. So she is actually getting laid. There's someone for everyone. It happens to be Joe. Good job, Joe.
who also has his own hyperfixation.
It was batteries when you guys were out here last. Freaking camper batteries. I was like, oh my God.
My husband, for the people who don't know, is the kind of person that, I don't know if you have anyone like this in your life, but it's like they will wake up one day and they're now an expert in exotic plants.
It's me. I'm the person.
I have to work to achieve that. But my husband will just wake up one day and all of a sudden he knows everything there is to know about sailboats. And I'm like, when did you acquire this knowledge? He's like, I've been researching this for a year, Kara. And I'm like,
He didn't just wake up. It's you happened to notice because you're like, oh, I've been busy in this spreadsheet. I didn't realize you knew. You've been on a sailboat?
He's real undercover and he becomes like an absurd expert but like an actual expert, like knows everything there is to know about installing solar panels and lithium batteries and rewiring an RV for solar panels.
Yep.
I'm like, what?
Well, I found out years into our marriage that my dear sweet husband, who is so straight and narrow and like every middle-aged man, he got really into smoking meats and World War II history, which he came by naturally.
Joe is really into smoking meats, by the way. Did I tell you that?
No. We have everyone benefits from this, though. And he was a World War II history major in undergrad. So like, okay, you came by that, honestly, fine. But I find out a couple of years into our marriage that he emails on a fairly regular basis NBC Golf. I'm sure it's just the general email telling him how much he disliked this one golf commentator. And he's like, there's a whole website that's dedicated to everyone hates him. Wait, so you take time out of your day to whom it may concern. First of all, I'm typing this with my middle finger. You should take this person off the air. And you've done this more than once. This is what? Which just cracks me up because, like, dude, you have a general mailbox. You see the crazy stuff that comes in here. You are the crazy one now. That is right. You.
God bless his little heart. You gotta love him.
Mm-hmm. No take backs.
For better or for worse. Yay. <It's
back. laughs> We should probably end this before.
But on the topic of marriage, we can cover the trad wife thing real quick.
We don't have a guest this week. Buckle up, everybody. Let's talk about something that we don't have all the facts on, but we do have microphones, so listen up.
We're two assholes with microphones and opinions, so you signed up to be here. Congratulations.
We have access to the internet, and if we have to think it, you have to hear it.
Okay, so I think most people are fairly familiar with Ballerina Farms.
I don't think they are, because I just heard about this in the last like 2 days, and I've been very online. So,
okay, they're a gigantic account. So Ballerina Farms, they have 8 kids, 7 or 8 kids.
Yes.
We have all of the facts.
The proper measurement is shit ton of kids.
Yeah.
I have a circus of 4.
So she had her last baby around the same time I had mine. Like maybe she had her baby in December and we were pregnant at the same time. And so I think that's how I became really more aware of her, because like she was like instantly back to doing things and I felt like shit. So circling back around to body image and like judging ourselves. So I'm relatively familiar, but do not follow her, because like with anyone that makes me feel like shit, you are welcome to unsubscribe from the people that make you feel worse about yourself. And she made me feel worse about myself. So there has been a recent article, New York Times, right?
I'm looking at it here online. It's a ton within the last 2 hours, even like large.
I think they all spun off of this one article that was written from the New York Times.
Okay.
And the way it was essentially written is it was supposed to be about trad lives. And what?
I was going to say, the title of the article in the New York Times is, she gave birth 2 weeks ago. Now she's in a beauty pageant.
Yes. So that's that. like I said, that's why I felt like shit. So that's not the actual, it's like the trad mom, we'll link the actual article that started all this. So it was supposed to be an article about, so if you don't know trad moms, it's just like traditional, like values.
Traditional gender roles is what I think of when I hear trad wives.
Yeah. So, you know, women should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, basically. So they do this piece on them and it ends up being just like this kind of heartbreaking thing where she talks about how she had all of these goals and dreams and she was in Juilliard for ballet and she was like on track to be a prima ballerina. And her husband's like, nope, you can't do that anymore. You're a wife now and you're going to have babies. And she was like, you know, that wasn't really my goal and that wasn't my plan. And I think a lot of people make the decision actively. Now, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Okay. But I think a lot of people make the decision actively to be a stay-at-home mom, a wife. They are totally fulfilled by that. I made that decision for a while and I was totally fulfilled by that. But it doesn't seem like her decision was made in full competence of what she truly wanted and her dreams and goals. And then there's all these moments in the article where like her husband speaks for her and speaks over her. And it's painful. And the journalist that wrote the article notates all of that.
Good. It's good journalism, though, like to note those things that aren't being said, but you are observing.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's a big topic right now of what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of people are pretty worried for her and really just feeling some compassion for her.
I think there's so many people that are interested in this. Yes, you have the, like, we have a large platform and your beauty pageant and Juilliard. And it comes down to everyone can relate to this in some way, shape, or form. Most people, especially in domestic violence relationships, or if they are recovering from one of those relationships, they see themselves in this story. They see themselves as trapped, or maybe they didn't realize what they were getting into, or what if they got married when they were still in love bombing stage, or however you are identifying. Like, I will say when I started looking at this, I'm like, there are pieces of this that are really activating to me in a huge way. And the one that I saw the first time was, it's her birthday and the husband is filming her and she's opening up her present and she's saying, oh, is it a trip to somewhere or something like that? I can't remember. She's saying like what she hopes it was. And it was something that she's been saying she wanted for a long time. And she opens it and it's an apron to put her eggs in.
Oh, yeah. The egg apron.
The egg apron, which I'm like, what if that was something, you know what? That could be super thoughtful. Like, oh, I've been struggling or I have to put them in a basket. Like, that could be super thoughtful. But what you are seeing as opposed to just that one act is that, yay, thanks. It's like giving your wife pots and pans or a vacuum cleaner. Like,
yeah.
Or there's a Simpson episode where Homer gives Marge a bowling ball. She doesn't bowl and it's already inscribed with his name. That's what comes to mind for me. So she gets this egg apron and there's a lot of people that are commenting on it or whatever it might be. This triggered something in me deeply. And I don't know if I had shared it with you. I know I shared it with my friend Kirsta since she was present for this, but there is a video that exists of me where I am barefoot and pregnant, largely pregnant.
Oh, yeah, you've told me about this.
Uh-huh. And I am making food for my son, who is just over a year old. And I'm stirring this up as everyone's sitting there singing me happy birthday. And that, for whatever reason, I don't even know why I would have kept the video. I'm a digital hoarder, but I go back and look at that now and I'm like, sorry, I can't take a break. No one else will step in and do this because this is my job. And I was specifically told over and over, that is the mom's job. And so I couldn't take a break to have my family sing happy birthday to me. And that, for me, is the big tie and why I started reading this story. And it's just something like that for everyone. Everyone out there who has experienced something like that knows that feeling of being trapped. And then for her, there's a ton, millions of eyes on her. Like, how are you going to react? What are you going to do? And none of us know what's going on behind the scenes. None of us do. None of us know what's going on in somebody else's relationship to the effect that they do.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, I think a lot of people are seeing, you know, red flags, which they, it could mean nothing. It could mean something. We can speculate all day long, but at the end of the day, like Kim said, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it's definitely something that is in the media that's applicable to things that we've gone through and the things that we talk about. And so with all the things, we just want to say, you know, consume with caution and follow up with self-care if you find that it's triggering something. And honestly, I think one of the things that I think the further along I get in this journey, whenever I feel those feelings, like get curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like get curious about why is it making me feel that way? I think that that's how we see immense amounts of healing, is getting curious about why certain things make us feel certain ways. Once we feel safe to do that, obviously. But if it's making you feel something, get curious, get help.
Yep. Bounce that off of others, especially in your community too. Don't feel like you have to hold all that in. Totally shameless plug and separate and apart. But I like that our Patreon does that, where you can kind of rely on the other people in that community if you don't have somebody in your real life.
Yeah.
You know, Kara and I have the privilege of having each other. We have people in our real lives, not that this isn't real, but in our actual face-to-face lives that we can talk through these things and say, ooh, I think I'm learning something as it's happening in real time. And we are very lucky for that. For those of you who don't have that, online is a great way to find that. Find those people who will support you.
Yeah, there's so many good resources online too. And I do want to address one thing since we mentioned the Patreon. This is something that I just realized today, listening back to last week's episode. You may have caught this. You may not have. There is a moment in the middle of the conversation with James from last week where you might feel like the transition didn't make sense. That's because there was content there that was pulled exclusively for Patreon. So in most of our episodes, the conversations are longer because we put the full interview, very lightly edited. We put the actual interview, no music, no intro, anything like that, on Patreon. And so there was some content that was pulled. And that content was specifically me asking James for his feedback on my situation, because I often get asked, what would you do differently? What would you advise people to do differently in your situation? And so I was like, let me ask someone who is a literal expert in his field on this kind of thing. And so you can go check it out on the Patreon if you want.
Yeah, part of the reason it got pulled too is because I think we stop and we say, oh, are we going to include this or not? So sometimes when we do that, Kara actually leaves that in the video. So you can watch like how we go through these conversations organically, whereas the audio format that you get on your podcast players is meant to just be consumed without all the behind the scenes things. But Patreon, you get to see all of the ugly mess that we are, even behind the scenes.
Yeah. And I started actually, I know that I personally have a hard time consuming a long format video. So I actually started putting the audio version of the lightly edited version of the podcast. I actually started putting those as of this week. So going forward, I will be putting the video and the audio version on the Patreon. So if that's something you're interested in hearing, just that extra content, then that's the place for that. We also usually include more dark humor over there. So most of our episodes, we have some dark humor, which actually just want to hit on this other thing real quick. The first thing that I posted on my personal page about the episode from last week with James was him saying, you know, you have to decide, are you going to get in a trunk? I'm not going to get in a trunk. And he said, you know, it's really hard to put someone in a trunk that doesn't want to go. And Kim said, or a Rubbermaid container, because her filter.
Did you like that edit too, where I went back and forth with our faces, because that's, I didn't want it to just be focused on him, because she and I are like, who's going to say it? Are we going to say it?
You can tell that we're like, writing it. But I've actually gotten some negative feedback on that particular video, because people are like, how dare he say that? And how dare he have that level of certainty? And I'm like, but you have to take it in context.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a commentary on anything you see online, in print, anywhere ever. I mean, this goes back to the religion topic. Like, you have to take all of these things in context. You cannot take a quote. You cannot take a moment out of context and judge it. You have to see it in the context of everything that's surrounding it. And what was surrounding it was him saying, you have to have self-awareness of like what you're able to do.
Right. What's your boundary, I think, is what he was saying. Like, he said, I know I'm not going to get in the back of the car. Whereas that might not be the same for a woman who is, you have somebody that is larger than you attacking you. Right. So he's talking about that in the sense of boundaries. And we had already shared our stories with him, which is why he was pointing that out specifically. So we took no offense to it. Kara, speak for yourself.
No, but I do love the edit. I texted Kim and I was like, I can't edit this the way you can. She's better at video editing and audio editing, honestly. I was like, please edit this because I know you will do it well. Because I could see all three of us. And so I knew what was happening. I could see our faces where we're just like,
Kim said the inside thought outside.
Who's going to say what, when? Which is basically, you know, I love his face too at the end. Where he's like, he's like, shit.
We had some fun with that one. So
yeah, as we do with most episodes. But please, by all means, if you have thoughts, comments, concerns, follow-up questions for James or any of our previous guests, please let us know. The best way to reach out to us is either leave a comment, send us a message on any of our social media, or send us an email, which you can do that through our website, or you can do it directly, hello@survivorsguidetotruecrime.com. So there's lots of options. We would definitely love to take your questions and try to reach out to some of our previous guests. I think we mentioned that most weeks that we're happy to do that. And that's something that we want to do. Maybe I should actually post that on the social media. Guys, pat me on the back for the social media. Please, please commend me because I've been working so hard.
You've got this.
I've been trying so hard. I'm like posting things every day. I'm trying.
Jim, please clap.
I'm trying my best. All that to say, do you guys like us? Are we doing an okay job?
You like us. You really, really like us.
If you like us, please rate. Would it rate, review, subscribe?
Subscribe, rate, and review. Smash that like button. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I think that's it. I think that's all. That's the highlight. Like, how do we plants, Olympics, body image, Eminem?
This is going to be a fun one to edit. I should also point out, this is later than we typically record, and it wasn't planned. Kara's like, hey, when should we record for this week? Because we had one scheduled for this morning and it didn't happen. I was like, right now? Usually I need at least 2 hours of notice to get everything squared away.
I had to peel myself out of bed. The baby was not napping. She had just woken up and I was like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have one less kid here than I normally do. So why not? Much to my husband's consternation, because he's like, oh, I want to take a nap. I'm like, I also would like to take a nap. That sounds great.
Not today, Joe. Not today.
I can't nap anymore. So anyway. All right, friends. That's it. Been real. Been fun.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Survivor's Guide to True Crime is hosted and executive produced by Kimberly Corbin Rourke and Kara Robinson Chamberlain.
If you love what we do here, please don't forget to follow, rate, and review the show in your podcast player. It's an easy and free way to help us and help more people find the show.
To learn more about the guests featured or to find resources and information discussed on the show, visit survivorsguidetotruecrime.com.
Thanks for listening.
Well, see you later.